Welcome to another Monday Pun Day here, and a happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to you as well. Well, it's pretty frigid up here in the upper Midwest, so here's a cold weather pun for you. If you tend to make a lot of spelling mistakes when you're trying to send a text in cold weather, you'd better get inside, because you're probably suffering from typothermia.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. We're here to help bring you the support, encouragement, and inspiration you need to live out your Catholic faith today, and maybe to keep your sense of humor as well. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. I went in for my annual checkup recently, and thanks be to God, everything looks pretty good. But my PA wants me to bring down my cholesterol, most notably by losing 10 to 15 pounds. And to be honest, after the holiday weight gain, I've been noticing the signs too: less energy, more aches and pains in my knees and legs. So I've been trying to eat more sensibly and healthier. Well, here's the challenge. I like to eat. There are so many foods that taste so good. And when I get started on something that tastes good, I just don't want to stop. Well, eating, of course, is a necessity, so there's no avoiding it. But even beyond eating out of necessity, eating is enjoyable. A healthy appetite is a sign of good physical and mental health. There's also the social component of eating. There's an intimacy about it that fosters relationships, creating literal companions as we enjoy a meal together. So with all these benefits of eating, I suppose it can seem rather surprising that Jesus himself fasted, and he encouraged his followers to fast. As many blessings that are inherent in the sharing of a meal, there are yet more that entail foregoing that meal. But exactly how can this self-denial, and not just of food, of course, but of other goods as well, how can that lead you into a deeper faith? And how do you know when to fast, and how to do it well within physically and spiritually healthy parameters? How can you set up a good plan for fasting? Fasting is our topic today for today's Inner Life. Joining us now as our spiritual director for the hour ahead is Father Matthew Witter. Father Matthew is a priest in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, serving as pastor at St. John Newman, St. William, St. Joseph, and St. Mary in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Father, good to be speaking with you again. Welcome back to the program.
Good to be on, Patrick. Great to be with you and all the listeners here.
Yeah, well, and fantastic. And all these holidays that we do, we just got through some of the major holidays, and I'm guessing I'm not the only one who is dealing maybe with a few extra pounds. But now we're talking today about fasting, and of course, most of us have Lent in at least starting to come up on our radar as well, where we're starting to think about fasting, what we might give up for Lent, that sort of thing. Let's just start out with fasting. I mean, like I said, our Lord himself fasted. So he fasted in the wilderness from Matthew chapter 4. So what are some significant things that we can take out of this understanding of Jesus himself fasting?
And you said it there. So, you know, why fast? I mean, one of the first reasons is to that point, Jesus did it. And we're seeking to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. And so it starts there. And this The topic is particularly like with the introduction coming off of the Christmas season. There's usually no shortage of different types of sweets and any number of things. And
right.
And it's interesting. Usually we kind of finish that season being like, "Whew, like love the food, but gosh, it's time to kind of get back into a type of focus." And even with the gospel, those who follow the daily mass readings. Maybe went to mass today. Even the gospel for today, Jesus is talking about fasting. As the disciples of John and the Pharisees, they approach Jesus and they ask, you know, why do the disciples of John fast, the Pharisees, but your disciples do not fast? And and what does Jesus say? When, you know, the bridegroom is there, they can't fast, but when it's taken away, they will fast. And so we're in that time. And really, one of the things that fasting really focuses us on is so often we think that we can bring about heaven here on earth. Like we seek heaven in things that are not heaven, in things that are not the Lord. And so food is good, but when we seek our comfort, when we seek our enjoyment too much in the things of earth, we kind of lose our spiritual antenna with the things of heaven.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right, and I think that there's so much of that too, is that we love to enjoy these things, and let's be fair, let's be honest, it is right to give thanks to God for his goodness to us and all these good gifts. But that's what's ultimately in mind, isn't it, Father, that Jesus is trying to point us that, you know, these all the good things that we encounter in this life are merely invitations. They're pointers. They're arrows pointing us to an ultimate fulfillment that will never come about but from the things of earth.
Exactly. Exactly. And so often we can find ourselves, you know, kind of craving a cookie at a certain time. And if we don't have it, it's like, oh gosh, what am I missing? Or it might be a cup of coffee or what are these things, which aren't, none of those things are bad. Yeah. But then all of a sudden we start to realize like, oh gosh, if I don't have that, mm-hmm. like, can I still function? You know, that can happen to us. Sometimes it's with, you know, social media or TV, when all of a sudden we find ourselves, you know, especially going online before we go to prayer. Usually there's a sense that we're without necessarily knowing that we're doing it, we're all of a sudden placing something in the pathway that only belongs to God. And so one of the benefits of fasting is it allows us to reorient the lens of our life towards the Lord. And fasting really kind of makes us vulnerable, because many times when we're fasting, we recognize just how weak we are. Like, we recognize just how much, oh yes, I need, you know, that certain food that I might be giving up. Oh gosh, we get that habit of counting on it at a certain time or looking forward to it. And oh, it's like really, Lord, like, does that really have that much of a hold on me? You know, so sometimes fasting, it kind of reveals a vulnerable area in our heart that allows the Lord to come back into, you know, in a more profound way.
Yeah, that's an interesting turn of phrase there, Father. Fasting makes us vulnerable. And really, I guess when I think about it, I'm thinking about specifically that when we fast, it's kind of our will and God's will coming together, isn't it? Because in one sense, we are making the willful decision to forego certain goods of the earth. And but at the same time, in that, is based on what you said, is that we are actually aligning ourselves to God's will and recognizing we need God even more than we need food or that next cup of coffee or whatever it might be.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That desire that we all of a sudden realize that we have more than we knew for particular food or technology or whatever. But you said something that was very important there that really uncovers another reality of fasting. So there's that, you know, reordering our spiritual lens, but that use of the word will is so important. And fasting is also one of the ways that really helps us make reparation for our previous sins. And the word will is important in that, because remember, when we sin, we use our will to turn away from God. And so when we use our will to turn back to God and to say, I'm going to use my will not to turn away from God, but to make a sacrifice, that is another very powerful reality that fasting brings about, because it reshapes our will that in our sin turns away from God. In fasting, we use our will against maybe what our feelings maybe want to do, and we offer that to God, which is a powerful way of making, many times the word we use is reparation for our sins or the sins of others.
Mm-hmm. Excellent point, Father. And one of the things that strikes me too about fasting is that using the utilization of our own will as well, is that obviously we want virtue to play a role in this, and specifically maybe the virtue of temperance and there is a fruit, it seems, of fasting that when we return to whatever good it is that we've given up, food or whatever, that there's a sharpening of our mindset of, but recognizing this is not the end all be all. So therefore, you know, we need to approach this with an idea of we're not going to overdo it.
Exactly. Temperance is a great virtue. And another way of looking at that, too, is sometimes fasting, especially in our society now, interestingly enough, can almost become a god of its own, where there can be a certain pride that we have because we, you know, don't do this or don't eat that or fast on, you know, whatever we're doing. And all of a sudden it becomes, we find that in the sacrifice we're making, all of a sudden there's a sense of pride of, you know, look what I'm doing. And that's why many times the church is very cautious, you know, good spiritual directors are usually cautious about assigning very, you know, intense fasts for long periods of time without, you know, breaking them up at certain times, because all of a sudden what can kind of creep in the midst of what started as a good thing, there can be a, you know, a pride that creeps in. And so temperance is really teaching us to use the things of this world in the proper way. And so there is a time to feast and there is a time to fast. And if we find ourselves fasting in times where we're feasting, that might also uncover a bit of a pride.
Yeah, that is an excellent point as well, Father, that, as has been told me a number of times by many trusted spiritual advisors, that, yes, we need to take account of the church's liturgical calendar, certainly when it comes to some of this, and we fast when the church tells us to fast, and we feast when the church tells us to feast, and there might be a little bit of spiritual pride going on there. Our topic today for the program is fasting. Why do we do fasting? How is fasting important to your spiritual life? Do you have a regular pattern of fasting that you employ? Do you have a story, maybe, about fasting and some of the spiritual fruit that that's born in your own life? Give us a call, join the conversation, or ask your questions about fasting, too. Is it appropriate to fast at this time or in this way? 888-914-9149 is our toll-free studio line, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters, 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Well, Father, I mentioned before that Lent is, it's not far away now. We're looking, you know, just about a month away as we the beginning of Lent. And so the church oftentimes, we know that Ash Wednesday and Good Friday are obligatory days of fasting for those within the selected age range. 18, 16 to 59, something like that. And if in those days we are fasting as the church has instructed or advised us to fast, but it's valuable outside of Lent, too. I mean, I'm thinking of programs like Exodus 90, Magnify 90, and things like that, that people have engaged with these other fasting times as well. How is it actually beneficial to us outside of these fasting and penitential seasons?
Great, great question. And even, you know, within the context of the church and some great, you know, apostolic initiatives kind of broadening it out, that sense of fasting and sacrifice and seeking, you know, both of those situations. I'm more familiar with Exodus 90 than Magnify 90, but there's a sense of community in it, that you're not walking alone, but you're, you know, with others that are supporting you and you're accountable to. But within the context of the church, you know, the church suggests that whether it's Lent or not, that Friday is always looked at as a special day of penance. So just as Sunday, every Sunday is a day of celebration. It's a day of the Lord's resurrection. You know, the church would say every Friday should have a penitential tone to it.
Yeah.
Now and whether that's you know, not eating meat on Fridays throughout the year, or as the church says, if you eat meat on a Friday, then make a different sacrifice. That's up to the person's conscience. But it always is beneficial. If we find that we're just feasting many times, what we find is that our senses, our spiritual senses are dulling because we're looking to this world and the things of this world, which aren't all bad, but they take us away from the spiritual element of things. And we seek just to kind of take from this world without the spiritual lens to it.
Hmm. I like that, Father, the spiritual lens that we're looking into, we're looking through to view this life, and that fasting reminds us of that. But let's be honest here, Father. I mean, I don't think that we in 21st century America are much different than our predecessors in this, but man, we sure like our comfort. I know I do anyway.
Yeah.
And fasting is, it's uncomfortable. So there's something that we're fighting against, not just in kind of the general influences of society, but even within our own selves here. It
Definitely. Seems
like we're fighting against this desire for comfort, for stability, for control in a sense as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Comfort is a great word, because many times we would say, you know, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. The Lord is meant to be our comforter, and yet we know that we look for comfort in so many different ways. And in our society, now it's not true for everyone in the United States by no means, but for many, it's, you know, comfort is, it's seats all around us, and we're told to be as comfortable as possible and to avoid any type of pain or discomfort. So it definitely goes against the trend of culture. And at the same time, what's interesting about fasting, whenever someone's made a sacrifice, whatever that might be, what's interesting is just kind of thinking ahead to Lent. Many times when people give, you know, do the 40 days of sacrificing in one way, of fasting in one way, it's amazing how oftentimes, now sometimes we fail and we get back on, and of course that happens too. But it's interesting how oftentimes people say, like, boy, I feel so good. You know, once you get over that initial challenge, like this, you know, there's this, sometimes people are actually kind of sad to return to Easter because then they sometimes forget about the good habit that they put into place. But that sense of discipline that it fosters is so important.
Discipline, yeah. We need to get into that as well. Again, talking about fasting today here on the program with our spiritual director, Father Matthew Witter from the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Let's take a phone call. Tom is calling in from Tucson, Arizona. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for calling into The Inner Life.
Yeah, good morning. Say, I'm great subject, and I'm curious about the penance and the benefits of the fasting. So I've been fasting Wednesdays and Fridays for many, many years, and the fasting becomes routine, quite easy, and actually kind of enjoyable. So it's not a difficult mortification anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are times where, you know, there's still some mortification that goes on. But I'm wondering, is that a common problem that we become so conditioned to it that it's not really a sacrifice anymore? And then what do we do?
That's a great, you might have mentioned this. How long did you say you've been fasting in that way?
Oh, I've probably, you know, I don't even know. I'm guessing probably going back 6 years now, and I started slowly, but I do a sundown to a sun up the prior, so my fasts are sometimes 30 to 32 hours, sometimes only 28 hours, you know, so they're pretty rigorous. And I do consume a little bit of milk, and I'll drink some coffee, so I'm not without, you know, but only, you know, maybe 8 to 10 ounces of milk once a day, just to take some vitamins. And but again, it's not that difficult, and the benefits that I receive are tremendous because I get this sharpness of thought and clarity, creativity that comes after about 18 hours into it is, I mean, the rewards are so wonderful that it's hardly a penance.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm sure there are people listening now that are saying, he does what? Like, whoa, that could be for some listening. And so, you know, praise God that like you use that word of like my the sharpness of thought. And there's a sharpness of the inner life in those moments. And so I would not try to second guess that. The Lord has given you a grace. And if it seems, you know, easy, you know, the Lord can make it very difficult just like that. You know, so it's a grace that the Lord has given you. And I would embrace that grace. Is there a particular, many times with fasting, there's fasting for, you know, intentions of Our Lady or the Sacred Heart or, you know, personal intention. Can I ask, is there a particular intention that you put behind your fasting?
Yeah, mine was a serious transformation of my life. And I wasn't I don't want to sound like I was a ardent sinner and on the life of damnation. I mean, I'm a cradle Catholic, but I was not really catechized properly. And I was kind of the, you know, I wasn't the C&E Catholic. I mean, I was, you know, I loved my faith, but I was so ignorant to the depths of my faith. And it was more of the social club than a faith life. And I really, I mean, my whole life is substantially different. I mean, it's like, you know, when the Protestants say, you know, born again, or evangelicals say that, yeah, my life is probably more of a sign of born again. I mean, I'm substantially different now than I was 7-8 years ago, you know, and now the struggle is my fasting penitential? And what do we do when there's a feast day that lands on my scheduled fast day? You know, I've got OCD pretty, I'm a scientist and physicist, and you know, so for me, it's really hard to give up my fast day on a feast day.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, you know, even the church recommends, like, for example, like a Friday in Lent, sometimes it happens where the Solemnity of St. Joseph will fall on a Friday of Lent. You know, the solemnity takes precedence over the day of fasting, of abstinence from meat, for example, because it's a solemnity. And so the solemnity automatically trumps the fast.
St. Patrick's Day is a common one, too. St. Patrick's Day, that commonly happens. And my family will celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and I'll sit there and go, and that's the only time fasting becomes a torment.
Yeah, good instinct, though, because St. Patrick's Day, although it is celebrated as, you know, Christmas in many parts of the country here, St. Patrick's is not a solemnity. And so for the bishop, the local ordinary, he has the authority to lift the abstaining from meat on that day. But it's not kind of a universal norm then, because St. Patrick's is not, his feast is not a solemnity. So you do have a good instinct of, oh, it's not quite the, you know, quite the same. But what I would encourage you, and the other thing I would say, you know, with sacrifice, you know, one of the beautiful things with sacrifice is that, like, sacrifice, when we make sacrifices, you know, in the spiritual life, you know, what does Jesus say? Enter through the narrow door. The gate is wide that leads to hell. Enter through the narrow gate. And what's interesting about the spiritual life is when you enter through the narrow gate, you know, of fasting, you know, it's difficult at first, it's intimidating, but then everything opens up in front of you. The other way is everything seems easy, and once you get in, it kind of closes. And so, you know, part of what's happening in your spiritual life is you've entered the narrow gate, and things are opening up as they should. And so I might just ask the Lord, you know, Lord, is there something more that you're asking me to do? I would kind of, as a starting point, you know, when there is one of your fast days, either the Friday or the Wednesday, where it is, you know, a special solemnity in the church, I would give yourself an exception on those days. Not that you just kind of make a pig of yourself or whatever. That's never the ideal, but, you know, to enjoy it in that way.
Hmm. Very good. Good questions, Tom. And I got to say that, especially with that feast days occurring on a scheduled fast day, I think that is something I wrestle with, and I'm guessing and many others do. So great call, Tom. Thank you so much for calling in, and thanks for listening as well. Talking about fasting today, if you have questions, as Tom did, about fasting and appropriate ways to do it, give us a call. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Our email address, if you'd prefer, is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to be back with more of the program on fasting with our spiritual director, Father Matthew Witter, right after this. Thanks to our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers. UD's rigorous liberal arts education forms the mind and nourishes the soul to produce graduates who renew our culture. Find out more and access a free guide on choosing a college at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
Welcome back to The Inner Life with Patrick Conway. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149.
Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com and the Relevant Radio app. We are talking about fasting today here on the program with our spiritual director, Father Matthew Witter, pastor of St. John Newman, St. William, St. Joseph, and St. Mary in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Great call from Tom that just came in asking about fasting and if it's not difficult anymore. I mean, how should we engage with it even further? So thanks again, Tom, for that call. Let's go to Dylan calling in from Detroit, Michigan. Good afternoon, Dylan. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Dylan.
I had a question, and it's kind of going on with a new generation probably right now. I can see it with my friends and stuff. There are some of them are giving up on, like, social medias or mm-hmm. something like, I'm going to give up on chocolate for this Lent and something like that. I mean, is this a right way to do fasting or is it not? Because I've always known that since before my mom, my parents always do the fasting on Lent with meats and dairies or something like that. So is it right to do of giving up some other stuff other than food and stuff, or is it not? That was my question, please.
Great question, Dylan. Traditionally, fasting traditionally is looked at as food and drink. Cutting back on, so fasting traditionally is food and drink. Over the years, it's been broadened out to take on other elements of life as well. With your friends, for example, using the idea of social media, fasting, ideally, sometimes it can also have a good practical reality for us. Like we've been talking about, sometimes we take comfort in things that are not the Lord. We take too much comfort in things that are not the Lord. And so if someone finds themselves where they can't, go a day without or a morning without, checking, social media or, scrolling through the internet, that would be a very, very good spiritually, that would be a very good way to start fasting, to say, I'm not going to surf online or check social media, for part of the day, at least as a starting point. So that would probably be for that person, that could be a very, very helpful spiritual reality.
So even though if he don't cut on meat or from food or drinks and do the social media, you think that it's a good spiritual thing to start with, right?
So the church as a whole, the universal Catholic Church, in Lent, so like fasting from meat, abstaining from meat on Fridays in Lent, that's the non-negotiable. That's what the church invites us to do. We have to fast and abstain on Good Friday and Ash Wednesday. So on those days, there is a food element of it that's non-negotiable. The other days of the church year, fasting from food, and as the other caller was talking about, we can always fast from food. That being said, if the people that have been mentioning that fasting from social media, that for them could be a very, very helpful thing to do. That being said, there's nothing to say that you can't fast from social media and fast from food. You could always do both too, depending on what the person's situation is. It's not that if you fast from social media, you can't fast from food or drink. But for that person, perhaps spiritually, that could be the best practice for them. It certainly could be.
Thank you, Dylan. Thanks so much for the call. I'm just wondering, based on that too, Father, that there is I suppose the difference that I would see is that there's a difference between the necessity of food. I mean, we obviously we need to eat in order to live. Those saints who survived on Eucharist alone for a number of years, that sort of thing. I would take that as the exception that proves the rule,
exactly.
Right? But but social media, we don't need. Believe it or not, we don't need social media. So maybe there's some insight in there too. It's fasting from things that we need can help sharpen ourselves spiritually as well. Yeah,
you're right on, and that's a huge. That's why traditionally fasting is food and drink. We've incorporated other things which aren't bad, but sometimes the other elements like social media and things like that we don't necessarily need to an extent. I know sometimes people will try to keep in touch with friends or whatever through it, but we don't need it. And so sometimes it can be even just a whittling away of our own kind of imperfections along with the fasting part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. All right, Dylan, thank you so much for the call. Let's go now to Patrick calling in from Monterey, California. Patrick, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, no problem. My question is, food fasting is like too easy for me. I don't feel it's like a sacrifice or penitential. I've done some media. I don't have any media things anyway. I did do from phone calls once, and that was not good for me. So I'm interested in what you might have to say about that.
Yeah, how long have you been fasting or using this spiritual practice?
I on and here and there for two to four years.
Okay.
But I usually just fast. I've breakfast and lunch. I probably should do more and maybe for more time.
That could be an option. I missed which days do you usually fast on?
Usually fast Tuesday, Friday.
Okay. That could certainly be something. Lord, are you asking me to add some time, to add, you know, a different element of, you know, including dinner, or saying for dinner I'm just going to have bread and water, something like that. That could certainly be something that you could try adding. Mm-hmm. I would say it's a grace that the Lord has given you, and so praise God for that. And then it's okay, Lord, you know, are you in asking me on one of these days maybe to start to include a dinner fast of some way, maybe just eating bread or, you know, bread and water, something simple like that. That could be another avenue that the Lord might be opening up. How has, if I can ask Patrick, how has fasting helped you?
Tough question. I'm not sure if it has, but maybe I haven't been as diligent as I could be, going a little bit longer and more stricter.
And maybe something maybe to add to that is to fast with a particular intention in mind. If there's a particular,
yeah, I usually do.
That's perfect. I'm just curious if with your fasting intentions, if you've seen some graces in those areas, whether it's in your personal life or more in the context of the world in general, family members, have you seen any graces that have been released?
Some, yes. Some.
And I think that's a good barometer of, now when it comes to the spiritual life, we can't always see, especially if we're praying for someone else, we can't tell how the Lord is or isn't working in their life. So we don't want to make, you know, I have to see the results in order for it to be fruitful. But that's something I would just continue to reflect on, is some of those areas, people, situations that you've been fasting for, to kind of take note of how maybe those prayers, you've seen some of the fruits of those prayers. And like I said, sometimes, you know, we're not God. We can't see into someone's heart. Sometimes we might be praying for someone, and the Lord might be working on their heart in a very deep way, and we can't see it. But I would also say, don't, you know, your fasting and your prayer matters, and don't forget that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good, Patrick. Thank you so much for the call and for the honesty. I mean, that's recognizing kind of where we are in the whole realm of fasting can be a good, at least starting place of saying, okay, now where do I need to go from here, and where might I go from here? So, Patrick, thank you for the phone call. Let's take Jose now, calling in from New Mexico. Good morning, Jose. Welcome to The Inner Life.
Good morning. I am a 91-year-old, a widower of 9 years, and I was a caregiver to my wife for 14 years, and we had a strict diet, schedule when she was sick, but when she died, I found myself, I didn't have to follow that strict schedule, and what I do now is, I have only two meals a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. And as my mother used to tell us, unless you offer it as a sacrifice and prayer, it's just nothing. It's just an action of doing without. So I offer it, even though I don't have to fast at my age, I'm 91, I still offer it as a prayer, not for, you know, not having to eat, not eating only two meals a day.
Mm-hmm. And that intentionality of offering it as a prayer is very important. And then, can I ask, you mentioned you took care of your wife and you've been a widower 9 years. How many years were you married?
Married 53 years.
63 years.
We met in college, and we had a wonderful life. We had five children, beautiful children, and four teachers and one journalist. And so I had a very pleasant, and we never argued in our life, married life. We never fought verbally or physically. And it was a blessed life that I had with her.
And with the fasting came into your marriage when you were taking care of her, or it came in even before?
No, because she had to have 3 meals a day at certain time. So I would feed her, you know, 3 meals a day. But after she died, I didn't have that same schedule.
That's
so I have to wear the food morning and evening and offer it up as a fare. You know, but as my mother used to tell us, unless you offer it, it's just giving up food.
Mm. Yeah. Great, great wise words from Mom.
Yeah, absolutely. Jose, thanks for the call. Thanks for the tip and the advice because, well, Father, that is something that, of course, we want to underscore here. Like you said, it's when we engage in fasting ourselves that we are meant to offer this sacrifice up in such a way that it unites us with Christ's sacrifice for all, but also we offer it up as a prayer, and oftentimes with specific intentions. Yeah. How important is it to have a specific intention when we go about fasting?
Well, there's a couple different theories on that. You know, in general, just the reality of fasting and with an intention, one of the powerful things, you know, like the scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing. And one of the ways I think that fasting does that, you know, when we're praying for different people or different intentions or uniting it to the sacrifice of our Lord, as Jose said, is that, you know, we're fasting, all of a sudden we do feel hunger, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I do want to, you know, snack on something now. We feel that hunger, and then we realize, oh, that hunger right now is a prayer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, whether we're maybe at work or we're in a certain situation where we might not be, you know, really able to pray, like that fasting and that hunger at times, that's like the prayer in of itself. And so there's something very, very, very powerful about that. Now, the question with, you know, how is it important to have an intention, as Jose kind of got at, there is something, the more intentional we can be, the better. The more intentional we can be, the better. You know, like he said, his mom said, if you're just eating, it's just eating, but or not eating, you know, offer it up. But the other thing, too, is to remember that our Lord and those who have done, you know, different consecrations to Our Lady, also we know that we can't seek to control God in the sense of you know, Lord, this is the only thing that this can be, you know, St. Therese of Lisieux, or the beautiful saint in the story of the soul. She often referenced the Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 4, where you know, they say, you know, draw me and we will run. And she realized in that draw me and we will run that when one soul goes towards the Lord, all those that unite to that person, you know, follow after them, draw me and we will run towards the Lord. And so there's intentionality is good, but at the same time, we shouldn't be so scrupulous that, the fasting can only go through this. You know, we talk about myriad consecration and just, you know, giving it to Our Lady and saying, you know, you apply the graces for this as you see fit. So intentionality is good, but we should not be obsessed with this is what it's got to be for, because the Lord the Lord sees.
Yeah, amen to that. We're talking about fasting today here on the program with our spiritual director, Father Matthew Witter. Just a clarification of what I was saying before about obligatory fasting in the Latin Church. For members of the Latin Catholic Church, the norms on fasting are obligatory from age 18 until 59. That's what that was. But the norms concerning abstinence from meat are binding upon members of the Latin Catholic Church from age 14 onward. Just so we're clear on that, that's from the USCCB website, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Again, talking about fasting here on the program with Father Matthew Witter. If you have questions or tips or advice to give on fasting and how it's borne fruit in your own spiritual life, give us a call. Our phone number is 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. We'll be back with more of the program right after this. Stay with us. Thanks to our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers. UD's rigorous liberal arts education forms the mind and nourishes the soul to produce graduates who renew our culture. Find out more and access a free guide on choosing a college at relevantradio.com/UDallas. We are back here on The Inner Life. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Sentovich, our producer, and Thomas Engesser taking your phone calls today. We're talking about fasting on the program with our spiritual director, Father Matthew Witter. And speaking of fasting, the March for Life in Washington is this Friday. And again, this year, Relevant Radio is inviting you to fast for life in solidarity with the marchers. Take an active part in the march from your home or office by praying and fasting for the protection of the unborn. For example, well, Father, you're from Wisconsin. I'm from Wisconsin. So a participant from Wisconsin said this, give up, he or she is giving up their heated seat in their car. Now that's a serious fast right there in this January weather. I like your ideas, says, of alternative ways, and we'll consider others as well. Tell us how you'll be participating on Friday at relevantradio.com/fast. That's relevantradio.com/fast. And be sure to share #FastForLife on social media. Well, as we're talking about fasting today, some good calls coming in already. Grateful for that. And let's keep those rolling. Chris is calling in from Reno, Nevada. Chris, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Hi there.
Hey, Chris.
My question to you, I'm going to get right down to the nitty-gritty. I'm a senior citizen. I'm going to be 77 soon. Can I fast?
You certainly can. And so it's whenever there's fasting, there's always a sense of praying about, Lord, what are you asking of me? Is there a particular way already that you feel called to fast, or maybe you've fasted in the past?
Well, I'm thinking of fasting like one meal a day, but my grandma used to say, well, you wait, honey, when you get old, you're going to be eating like a bird. Well, my question to you now would be, do I eat, instead of eating two plates of bird food, could I just have one? So is it okay? Like, I'm cutting down all my three meals because I don't eat a lot. Is it fine just to have one large meal? When I say one large meal, it's very little food. But I feel fine. I'm in good health.
Okay, because that's another thing too. You know, what is your health situation? The previous caller, where his wife had to have three mm-hmm. meals, and that's, we also have, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Our body is sacred, and we do have to properly take care of it. But if you're in a situation where you feel like, okay, I'm called to cut back a little bit, I can. I would start by trying it. I wouldn't necessarily do it 7 days a week right away, but I would try, at least as a starting point on Friday, and mm-hmm. see how it goes, and then maybe add an extra day from there.
I started fasting about 2 weeks ago. I lost weight. My blood pressure was high because I had a stroke 7 years ago. My blood pressure is down to under 110. Yahoo! That's a good one.
Yeah, so there are some health benefits as well. We, of course, always are focused on the spiritual side of it. The health side is a different thing. But it's interesting how many times the best spiritual practice does rub off on our physical health. It's just in the sense that they're not separated. They're not separate things. You can't separate them.
Good old soul and body working together. We love to hear it. Chris, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that. And God bless you in your fasting. Give us a call later on in the month or the year and let us know how it's going and how you're seeing spiritual fruit in your own life. So wonderful. Thank you for that. One thing that came up, an off-air question, Father, that I wanted to ask you too, is just run through again what the churches, when we have obligatory days of fasting on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, what is the church's regulation for that, at least in the Latin Catholic Church?
Great. Yep. So the obligatory days of fasting and abstinence are fasting on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Fasting in that term means that you usually take what the church will define as you take one full meal, and then usually if you have two other meals, they shouldn't kind of equal more than the one full meal, and then there's no eating in between meals. So that's the starting point. Now someone might say, I'm just going to eat once. I'm going to eat one meal, but the minimum is to say, for fasting on Good Friday and Ash Wednesday, that you can have one full meal, whatever that might be, and then the other two meals shouldn't add up to being more than what you consider the full meal to be. So that's on Ash Wednesday, plus the added element of abstaining from meat.
right, on Fridays throughout Lent. And
yes.
As you said earlier, Father, throughout the year, if we don't abstain from meat, then some other penitential practice on Fridays, yeah?
Yep, and that will be the teaching of the church. So sometimes we don't always know that. We just kind of think of, oh, yeah, it's not a Friday in Lent. I can, you know, eat meat, and you can. But then there should be an awareness of, I'm going to make it a different sacrifice then.
Right, right. Wonderful. Our producer, Nick, will throw a link to the USCCB rules for Latin Catholics anyway, fasting and abstinence and what that means in the show notes. So you can always go back and check them there. Let's go back to the phones. Claudia calling in from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Claudia. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Hey, thank you. Good morning. My question regards, I'd like to increase having a penitential observance on Fridays outside of Lent. So this is really for speaking outside of Lent. But if I did something like omitting alcohol, that would probably be easy. Even if you're invited to a celebration or a dinner party, that I could see would be easy to avoid. But if your penitential observance outside of Lent was, you know, giving up meat or fasting, how can you handle it if you were, you know, invited to a celebration where you don't want to offend and you don't really want to draw attention to your penance? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, because there's always that sense of, even going back to with the gospel, you know, Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus talks about fasting, you know, when you fast, you know, wash your face and don't make it seem like you're fat, you know, don't make it seem so that others know that you're fasting. And so there is a prudence in terms of Lent. I think everyone, even non-Catholics, know that Catholics do not eat meat in Lent. But on some of those other Fridays where it's not always something that people know, that's something that you can say, you know, I choose to follow that. I choose not to eat meat on Fridays throughout the year as my sacrifice. Or if it's a spot where it's just really awkward, sometimes the sacrifice is saying, you know, I'm going to eat that and, you know, give something else up then. But that's I've been asking many of the callers this question too, but how long have you been having fasting as part of your spiritual life?
Well, definitely during Lent, but I have not been, even though I've been aware of it, I have not taken on replacing, you know, a conscious penitential observance on other Fridays, but you know, I really want to do that. So I'm just thinking of what that would be and just want to start doing that. So
it would be new
for me to
go ahead. I would follow that prompting.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And your advice also on, you know, either mentioning it simply or if it's a situation where it would be, you know, more just not appropriate in some way to just do a different type of fast or penance that day. So I appreciate it.
And it's a great point there, Claudia, too, because many times you can be a witness. You don't want to be a witness if you draw attention, you know, to yourself and away from the Lord. But if someone asks you to say, you know, I'm trying this new thing where I haven't always been intentional with Fridays, I want to be more intentional about this. That's why I'm doing this. You can share that if the situation's appropriate. It's always good to share that why, and it might actually remind the other person too of like, oh boy, like maybe I'm also called to do something. In some situations, that might not be prudent. So it is always asking the Holy Spirit to lead you and not to draw too much attention to yourself. But at the same time, there very well could be some good opportunities to give witness.
Mm-hmm. We've been sharing some alternative ways of fasting, different things that we might give up in terms of the upcoming Fast for Life, as I talked about at the beginning of this segment, Fast for Life. Check it out at relevantradio.com/fast. And Claudia, that might be another idea for you as well, is that if there's some other penitential practice that you're, I know oftentimes, for instance, when my wife and I are invited to a dinner or something where we know meat is going to be served on a Friday, then we'll seek out some other alternative
penitential practice to give up, even though giving up meat on Friday is our usual go-to anyway. So, well, Father, just in our last minute here or so before we enter the or ask you for your blessing, just want to ask if people are, maybe they're unfamiliar with fasting or they're not used to it, how might you suggest, what are some practical ways that people might begin in fasting?
I think a simple thing is say, I'm not going to eat between meals. I think that's a really good starting point. Sometimes it might be good, just as Claudia mentioned, just start with Fridays of fasting from meat on Fridays around the year, outside of when there's a solemnity on a Friday. You know, that could be something simple. And the other thing I think that's worth mentioning too with fasting is when we fast, when we talk about giving up food and water, we know at the same time that for us it's a sacrifice. For many people around the world, at times it's their daily life, and so there right. is a sense of solidarity as well that we practice with fasting, of recognizing that there's also a privilege in being able to fast, you know, as an act of the will instead of just being the reality of our life.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Father. Wonderful, wonderful benefits of fasting. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface and begun the conversation, Father, but we've reached the end of the program for now. We'll revisit this topic before too long. Father, thank you so much for being our spiritual director. May we have a blessing from you, please?
We pray that the blessing of Almighty God would be poured out upon each of those who are listening at this moment, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, again, show notes too. In the show notes, you'll find the USCCB's regulations on fasting there. So check that out over at relevantradio.com/innerlife and share this episode with those who might be interested in how to better fast. Tomorrow on the program, prayer as receiving God's love with our spiritual director, Father Bryce Sibley. Coming up next, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Until next time, grace and peace.